Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Introducing the Fuzz from Jackson Audio, taking faithful recreations of historic fuzz circuits and bringing them together in one modular pedal that allows you to create classic fuzz sounds as well as new fuzz sounds. The idea of creating a modular fuzz came about when they were trying to decide which style of fuzz would be the most musical fuzz of all time. The answer quickly became all of them. All of them are different and all of them bring something unique sonically. So they created a fuzz pedal where you can literally change the analog plug-in chip to make this fuzz a whole range of different fuzzes. From the modern fuzz deluxe, the fuzz classic vintage, the fuzz classic modern, the fuzz page Mark II, and the goat head, and I'm sure there are going to be more in the future. This pedal is absolutely incredible, and we at Guitar Nerds thoroughly recommend checking it out. Visit jackson.audio for more details. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I'm your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
It's so hot.
And Jay Cross.
So hot.
It is ridiculously hot. We've all got our windows open and fans on, so we'll have to see how good my editing skills are of this podcast to see if I can make it sound professional.
Well, that's good. If you haven't done it by now, Joe, there's no hope.
No, exactly.
Joe, you kind of did the intro a little bit like how I listen to podcasts at generally 20% faster. I think it's because generally I speak at 20% faster, and so that's how I best process information.
I see.
And that's kind of, you sounded like you were doing the intro to the podcast, like how I listen to podcasts. I mean, not the Guitar Nerds podcast, because obviously I don't listen to the Guitar Nerds podcast because I don't really understand how anybody puts up with my voice. It was good. So I appreciate that. If you could keep going at the faster speed, that'd be nice.
I'll try and keep the pace. Talking slowly is not something I realise that I do. What I try to do is a lot of those things on the radio. Whenever I'm listening to the radio, I really enjoy the presenters who will do things. They'll talk and then they're going to do this in the middle of a sentence for no reason. And there will be random points where things might slow down, speed up, or anything like that. I really like doing those things, but I didn't realize I talk slowly. But I keep getting accused by Bruce from Audio Distribution Group. He listens to the podcast and he's always like, yeah, I listen to it on like 1.75 because you guys talk so slow.
Yeah, there we go.
So apparently I'm slow, so I'm gonna try my best to speed up.
I prefer my podcast like Brian Eno, like slowed down, like 2,000%. With a bit of ambient reverb thrown
on. It just sounds like one note constantly.
Basically,
going. Every half hour it changes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If it doesn't sound like the Jurassic Park theme tune, slowed down by 2,000%, I'm not into it.
All it's not slowed down, it's stretched.
Stretched by, And it needs to be at least 8 hours long, and I need to have it in the background.
I got some fantastic Jurassic Park artwork from my sister for my birthday last week. A huge print, like a painting of the moment that Sam Neill faces off the T-Rex with a flare in his hand.
Oh, nice.
I was pretty happy.
You know, that's cool. not a scene from the new Jurassic World movie, which is terrible.
Well, I mean, I can never think anything in the Jurassic Park World franchise is terrible because it's part of the Jurassic Park World franchise and I love it dearly. But yes, you know, as soon as you don't have Sam Neill in it,
you've got an issue.
Yeah. Well, did you see they've announced a new one?
Yeah.
Jurassic World Dominion, and he's in that.
Full original cast, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, with Laura Dern. Mm. Absolute bloody legend.
Which is funny. It's kind of like, it's great that they're doing it, but it's like, guys, do you realise if you'd never lost the original cast, you wouldn't be, you know, struggling to keep this franchise relevant? That's all we care about, you know? It's like, that was
what are we talking about? The Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World with Vince Vaughn? Yeah. Great movie.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great film, but it still had, you know, we still had Jeff Goldblum. And that was, you know, it's important to keep at least, you know, a member of the original cast in every movie.
Right, okay. Like the...
Imagine if Die Hard 2 just had Officer Pawley, you know, and didn't have Bruce Willis. Everyone would be like, what's going on?
Which one was Bruce Willis?
Where's
in that
movie? John McClane? He was the one who Hans Gruber. He played Hans Gruber.
Oh, okay. I was only really interested in Officer Pawley.
Oh, yeah. Well, who wouldn't be?
Well, exactly.
A fantastic character.
I was trying to think of some sort of segue with Steven Spielberg and guitars, but Googling it, he has no interest in guitars whatsoever. So,
man after my own heart.
Well, okay. Yeah. Well, I can do this segue. I can do this segue. Speaking of things, I want to talk about a couple of cool competition things that are going on. Actually, before we get into the whole guitar things, one that is involving us and one that's separate but is super cool. KMA Audio Machines have started are running a giveaway, and it's a really good giveaway. You can win an entire pedal board. I mean, I don't think the board itself comes, but certainly you get a Chox power supply. You've got their Horizont phaser thing. You've got the Cirrus, which I've been, you know,
you really, bloody love that pedal.
I bloody love that pedal. Advocating is probably the best ambient reverb soundscape pedal you can possibly buy. The Cirrus, the Logan, which is like a mid-pushed drive pedal, my favorite sort of drive, really great for getting like Cocteau tones, and then there's one other pedal, and there's a mystery pedal that they haven't announced. This is a pretty decent giveaway, and if you just go to kma-machines.com, I'll put the link in the description of this podcast, which works everywhere, I think, unless you're listening on Spotify, which doesn't carry links, so you know you have to just remember this. But kma-machines.com, and there's a giveaway entry form on there on the main page. So you can win all of that stuff. It looks really good. I didn't look at when the finish date is on it, but I know it'll be there when this podcast comes out. But yeah, it looks looks really good. Really worth getting involved in. The other competition that's happening at the moment is one that we've got involved in. We've teamed up with Shotmaker. If you remember, a few weeks ago we spoke about the Shotmaker The Heroine Deluxe. Jay Cross, you knew all the bands that had inspired this pedal.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know me, big 80s and 90s emo fan. So, yeah, those. I'm looking forward to the next in the series.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked when you were like, "Oh yeah, Shotmaker is an old emo band or whatever." And was the Heroine also one or something?
Heroine are also an emo band. Yeah.
And you referenced those, and I never thought that would be it. But then I was speaking to Shotmaker, and they were like, "Oh yeah, that's exactly what. Yeah, that's what these are." So yeah, it would be interesting to see what.
Well,
let
me know when that Rites of Spring delay pedal comes out. And, actually, it'll be a spring reverb, wouldn't it? Rites of Spring reverb.
That's a great
pedal.
Idea.
That's what I'm holding out for.
There you go, Shotmaker. You heard it here first. But yes, we teamed up with Shotmaker to give away The Heroine. Now, we were talking about The Heroine Deluxe, which is the pedal after that, where they've introduced essentially a second drive foot switch with its own dedicated sustain control. The competition is to win a The Heroine, the original, which has your additional sustain control just on a little click switch. So not something you can operate with your foot, but you could choose it as the sound for this pedal or not, as it were. Very interesting, unique sounding, uniquely controlled drive pedal, because it just consists of a master which increases in drive tone as you turn it up. It's doing so much more than just volume. Then a pre-drive, which is, you know, yeah, just another level of grit, and a high cut, which is really interesting because it really sort of operates as a master tone, which is kind of really shaping the overall drive. And then you get a bright switch and a sustain switch. The sustain switch just adds a whole other level of thickness, so you're almost in fuzz territory there. But incredibly versatile. I think it sounds fantastic. I put the Heron Deluxe straight on my pedal board. It's actually, you know, going to be a fully gigging pedal for me. I completely love it. I haven't heard anything better than that four bass in a long time. But it is also a fantastic guitar pedal. Anyway, as I say, we've teamed up with Shotmaker, so you can go to their Instagram, which is Shotmaker_instruments, or you can go to ours, Guitar Nerds, and just find the big yellow post that says giveaway on it, and you can find instructions on how to enter there. You can win either a Shotmaker t-shirt or the Heroin effects pedal. Well worth entering. So yes, do that, dear listener. Anyway, let's talk about guitars. After all this time, I finally got my Fidelities.
Whoop whoop!
Very cool. They look fantastic.
I have to say,
Tim's Silverburst Lefty looks amazing.
Thank you. Yes, I got four through. So we got all the members of my band except for the drummer got one. My keys player got one. Josh, my keys player. Our sax player, who also plays guitar on the new stuff, he got one. Tim, our guitarist, got one, and I got a bass. But yeah, we ordered them, you know, a while ago, and it's great to finally get them. They all turned up here. Matt Oram came down and dropped them off with a bottle of gin on my birthday, which I drank the entire thing of that day, which was
good to know.
Pretty impressive.
You are the worst.
I know. I had no idea.
Some nice responsible broadcasting here for Guitar Nerds.
Yes, sorry. You're absolutely right.
Please do not drink as much as Joe Branton.
Well, yeah, you just try.
No, don't. Yeah, don't. Actually, that's just, yeah, definitely do not try.
But yes, I got the four, and they're really, I mean, obviously we banged on about, you know, Fidelity since we got them years ago. It was like a gear of the year, do you remember? Like 2016, maybe?
It wasn't 2016. Surely was not.
I think it was something like that. We got a double. Do you remember we got like a green double standard with a torque guard? And
it was of the first ones, I feel like.
Feel like it was the first proper gear of the year where we were actually like.
I just mean it was one of the first of Matt's guitars. One of the first ones he's built.
It was early, definitely. It was early. I feel like it was before there were kind of maybe a few more established things in Matt's line of instruments. It certainly felt like, you know, that model felt more rough and ready than the guitars he makes now, which feel very, you know, fully pro. Like I love that one. That was what got me into them. But it kind of felt like a cool guitar that a fella's made, whereas now they're like a completely pro line. That sounds like I'm not complimenting them, but I really do mean that as a compliment. I think love them both.
Did they not move, maybe I'm wrong here, but I think Matt moved workshop, or, you know, lots of things happened in the last few years which have obviously allowed him to do bigger and better things, or in the case of a lot of his instruments, better and cheaper things, because obviously he also released the Light 1 and this year the Light 2, which are the basically custom shop. They're still custom shop, but they are like half the price of his standard instruments, right?
Yeah. So the Light 1, which is his single pickup version, Light 2, which is a double pickup. I don't know if you get choice of pickup positioning on the two pickups like you do on the one. Like, you know, maybe you could move something into the middle and one into the bridge. I guess you can, because they're all custom shop things. But of course, with Light 1, you can choose. They're all swimming pool rooted, all the guitars in the Light. So you can choose not only where your pickup is rooted, neck, middle, or bridge, but if you wanted to order a separate scratch plate, you could also just reposition it yourself, you know, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that is cool. So which models did you get in the end, Joe?
So the four consisted of, we'll talk about Tim's first. So Tim is left-handed. Now, Tim's is actually the only one, the rest of us, me included, we just got custom models made, you know, like any ordinary punter would have had
a normal guitar player.
Yes, exactly. Ours are just standard, whereas Tim's is actually the Tim Walters, the Fidelity Tim Walters, and it's going to be released as
such. Favourites.
Yeah, yeah, clearly. He didn't bloody ask me to do that, did he? I had to just order a standard...
He gave you a bottle of gin. What else do you want?
Yeah,
I mean, what would you prefer?
Yeah, if I had to choose, I'm happy with my choice.
Do you want international recognition and, you know, potentially a career-defining move into the public sphere?
Sounds good.
Would you like a bottle of gin?
Oh, the gin. Yeah, I'll take the gin.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. No worries.
I think we're good with that. But yes, good. Tim's one's actually going to be the Tim Walters signature model, which I'm really excited about. We're sorting that out. I've arranged like a photo shoot for Tim and some videos and stuff like that that's going to be coming out over the next month or so, which is really exciting for him as well. But I actually think he came up with such an interesting idea for a guy who I find I have to hold the hand of, you know, through choosing any equipment ever, basically, since I've met him. I thought he came up with some brilliant, unique and interesting ideas for the guitar. So he went for the JB model, which is like the almost the double cut of the Fidelities. You know, there's the double standard is the other one, which is more offset. Obviously, the Stellarosa, which is, you know, inspired by the Japanese guitar, the original one. So he's gone for the JB, which is the double cut. He's gone for a single pickup. He's gone for just a chrome covered humbucker size P90, which is something that he was he's having made by Tretone Pickups, owned by Guitar Assembly. The one he's got in this first model is actually a Mojo Pickups version of that, because he has his Tretones in a couple of others. He's got a custom made Mojo Pickups humbucker size P90 in there. He's gone for a silver burst, a lovely silver burst, but he's gone for a split pickup, much like the old Ibanez ORL, but it's not, is it? The Omar Rodriguez Lopez model is actually called the ORM or something.
ORM?
Like that.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know why it's ORM instead of, you know, but it doesn't matter. It's the ORM one. So he's gone for that split pickup thing. And then the switches that he has, he's got obviously the normal volume roll control in the standard place on the little like 51P bass style plate on the front, which is very cool. But then on each horn, he's got two controls. One control on each horn. One is a bass 6 or Jaguar style switch, just a single switch, and that is full tone or no tone in a Gibson style tone format. So he can just go between the two extremes. Oh, it's just fantastic when he couples it with a load of drive or fuzz and then switches the tone off. He just has this instant, you know, perfect solo sound without having to use a rotary control. It's really cool.
So do you use no tone quite a lot then?
He does in your
band.
Well, Tim did, yes, because he moved from, he was playing Les Pauls,
yeah,
and switching between the neck pickup and bridge pickup for that sort of thing, and then he got himself an SG Junior. And he was like, I suddenly don't have this option, but I love this guitar. So he started using rolling off the tone as a way to get a neck pickup style sound. Okay. And that's just what he's done for years now. He's owned that SG for like 5 years. So he's done that all this time. And so it made more sense for him to go for that. And he was saying like there's no in-between setting he uses. He's just rolling it off to zero or onto full. So, you know, why not just have that in an easy to use switch, which I thought was very
cool. it makes complete sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other switch is
I realize that this is going to make me sound like a real, like, really contrary, but does that sound good? Like
what, the no tone thing?
Yeah,
I think it really does.
Everybody knows that like the tone control is a good control. Right? Yeah. It's the original Mate Goodera. Like,
well, absolutely.
The more you turn your tone control up, the better your guitar sounds. I'm just, like, I'm really trying to be open-minded here. I can't understand why you'd want your guitar to sound like that.
Well, I think he'd never use it, like, if it was just a clean saying. It's when, because Tim plays with a lot of drive anyway.
Okay, but I suppose like, so.
It's when there's loads of, he actually doesn't really use fuzz. So what it is when he's got, like, a drive tone, if he switches that, if he switches it onto the no tone with a bunch of drive, it's really fuzz-esque. And it's because he's such a cocktoir tone. There's such a peak in his mids. That with the no tone is like a really defined kind of interesting solo sound, almost like synth-esque in kind of how almost like, I don't know, like it's either there or it's not. Like it's a very, very over-compressed sort of tone. It's a really interesting option, I think, you know. It would be difficult to do with a floor pedal unless you got like an EQ pedal and just had everything cut and boosted and you were just using it for that one thing. It kind of makes sense to have it on the guitar for him. So it's a cool feature, but maybe you're right. Maybe that is slightly more niche. I don't know, dear listener. Do you think that would be useful? Let us know on the Facebook group.
Our friends at iZotope have just made their portable recording solution, the Spire Studio, even better. And the best part is that you can try out the app and recording platform for Spire completely free. Download the iOS app for your phone or tablet today by following links in the description of this podcast and make sketching down your song ideas incredibly easy and intuitive. Without the Spire, you won't have the mic or preamp, but you'll still have access to the software and effects that can polish your demo recordings more than you probably thought possible. The second generation Spire Studio ups the stakes by offering ultra low noise preamps that offer smooth, quieter recording and increased storage capacity. There's also Spire Pro, an optional subscription service accessed via the iOS app, and personalized soundcheck feature that listens and learns from your voice and environment. Check them out at iZotope.com.
I'm trying to think about, I was actually, while you were talking there, I was trying to find out why they put a tone control on guitars originally. If there was like a quote from Leo Fender or something, is when they did the telly. Because, you know, I guess the neck pickup on a...
Yeah, it was the bass pickup, right?
Broadcast was the bass pickup. It was designed to emulate a double bass.
Yeah. So would it have been for that?
I guess...
It's weird though, isn't it? Because like... On the original Telecasters, it was full tone, half tone, tone of clips. Like the
Of course.
Like when you're on the neck pickup, it had the time when you're on the what we consider now like position one or three, whichever way around it is. When you're on the neck pickup position, it was the neck pickup with no tone, and then you went to the middle position, and that's when you got the neck pickup with the tone control. So, I think it's an interesting little quirk of design there.
I think one thing actually we should clear up, which you saying that just made me realise, when we say no tone, you mean tone all the way off.
Yeah, no tone.
No tone. No tone. Because no tone would be, some people might associate that with
straight to the jack sort of thing.
Well, yeah, the no load tone on Fender Strats where you click it all the way up and it bypasses the capacitor, but it's maximum brightness because the pickup's actually quite bright, isn't it? So no tone in this situation means tone rolled all the way off, which actually would be maximum tone because you've toned all the way down.
What?
Maybe? I don't know. Yeah. I just suddenly thought that because I was like, no tone. I'm like, well, actually, it's
Tone off. Tone
off.
Down.
But
tone
you can down. Technically...
Muffling up.
You could have a guitar with no tone control and it would be really bright. Because you have wired it straight to the output jack.
There you go. Yes, you well could. The other control on Tim's guitar is an unlatched kill switch. It's gone for a lovely little sort of metal, very small unlatched button that's almost recessed into the plate. Like it's absolutely fantastic for getting that
The real Tom Morello vibe.
Yeah,
but I think should have gone the opposite. Should have gone the opposite, Joe, and it had an unlatched kill switch that only gave him sound when he pressed the button. really break out the box. A latched kill switch. You know, once you hit it, that was it, and it only latched once, and then it would never unlatch.
We will go on to talk about that because one of the other guitars does have a latched kill switch, but you know, I've finished Tim's first. So it's also it's an Obetch body, which is kind of a sort of mahogany style sounding wood, incredibly, unbelievably lightweight. I mean, I think that's largely because of the swimming pool style routing you get, although I think this one isn't swimming pool route, is it, because it's got the two split plates, so I guess it's just routed underneath the two scratch plates, the you know, on both horns, but incredibly light, like lighter than his SG Junior, which we were surprised about. Me and Tim were picking both of them up and being like, well, the SG actually feels heavy. Like an SG Junior actually feels heavy in comparison to the Fidelity. But well weighted, like it has no neck dive or anything like that. And he's gone for like a rosewood board, roasted maple neck. He had the profile made just like a Gibson SG, so kind of like a more flat D-esque kind of shape. But my goodness, it's really good. It's really cool. I'm a big fan. But go on.
I was going to say, yeah, no, super, super jealous. I think that's that especially is just an absolutely amazing, amazing guitar. I think good job in helping him design it, Joe Branton.
Oh, thanks, mate. Thanks. Well, the other JB, the one for our sax player, and dear listener, I'll put pictures in the group again for these. I put them a couple of weeks ago when I received them, or a week ago. I don't know. Time is all one to me at the moment, but. I put a load of pictures of them up there recently. I'll show you again. The other JB that we've got is black with like a burgundy guard. Oh, it's really cool. And a maple neck. That one's for Chris Olsen, our sax player. And he's gone for... He was like, the only control he wants is a latched kill switch. So it's like a... It's a toggle. It's a sort of a rotary toggle, but just in two positions, on or off. And I have to say, I've loved it. Like, I've loved having it here because I've used it for like just demoing pedals and stuff. And because, you know, you'll be picking up and putting down a guitar a bunch and plugging things in, just having a, like a switch to turn the guitar off is actually surprisingly useful. But also, you know, you can just flick it on and off and use it as a kill switch, which is very, very cool. He's gone for a Charlie Christian pickup in the middle position, which I have to say, of like trying out all of the Fidelities and indeed against all the other things I have here, I'm not entirely sure there's a better pickup in the world than that Charlie Christian. It sounds unbelievable, like unbelievably articulate and brilliant, gritty, bright, like perfectly old school, but just, you know, nothing sounds as detailed as that Charlie Christian pickup. It's really good.
I don't know if we ever spoke about this before, and I'm not sure if I know the answer, but what is the history behind this the Charlie Christian pickup? Have we got a bit of information? I'm just trying to think about it because loads of people make them, and I'm like, or that style, and I'm like, what is that? Because I think he was maybe a guitar player, if I remember rightly. But then loads of people made a guitar, so I don't know. Need to investigate.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Certainly, you know, it's a Mojo pickup, P90 Soap Bar Charlie Christian, and the description on the Mojo site is literally classic single coil, which requires no introduction. But of course, I actually did want the introduction, so I'm not entirely sure, but. But yeah, honestly, like Matt and Jay, you need to hear one of these pickups. It's the sort of thing where I kind of think if you heard one, you'd almost find it difficult to ever not think of it as the thing to retrofit into a guitar if you were looking for something like this. You know, even Jay, like before we were podcasting, you were talking about how you're not sure if you like the sound of P90s.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get what you don't like about P90s. I understand when they're a little bit maybe overwhelmed or low-end heavy or like...
I think a lot of it is just... Like, I like the sound of P90s when some people play them, but I think it's just the way that I play guitar with my kind of, you know, aggressive, obnoxious, dreadful, treble-heavy technique. It can just... The sound just... They're just not very forgiving, I think. They're certainly not very forgiving when I play it.
Right.
Yeah, and or maybe it's just the P90s that are in my Les Paul. I'm not sure. But we were talking earlier about how I've just sort of, I'm sort of not really been getting on with it. And I don't know, I'm thinking about maybe moving it on and saving up and getting a Les Paul standard again, which is, you know, the guitar, that the Les Paul that I had and really liked. And that, I think, is maybe what I'm on the lookout for instead. I'm not sure. I'm still sort of umming and ahhing over it. And, you know, also, I've spent the last year basically only playing my Strat, which I just absolutely love.
I'm so surprised. I said this before we started podcasting, but I'm so surprised at how much that guitar suits you.
It
kind of speaks to the unspoken versatility of Strats, I think, because Strats get played by such a certain type of guitarist. I don't mean that as a criticism to anyone with Strats, but it gets played by a certain type of guitarist and then gets avoided by anyone who's maybe, you know, sort of punkier or more raucous or anything like that. But it suits you, sounds great, and like it's such a good workhorse as well. The player series especially, they're just such good workhorses.
I think the player Strat, I just think is like, I think it's the best upgrade on any model that like Fender have done in since the American Standard series came out. And you know, there's been a lot of really good stuff. The jump up from the Elites to the Ultras was amazing. But in terms of kind of making really good guitars accessible to a really broad range of people, I think that those player Strats are just absolutely incredible. I've not changed anything. I've got plans to change it. I want to mod a few bits on it, but you know, I've not done it yet because I haven't needed to. It's such a great guitar. I just absolutely love it. I can't believe I'm a Strat player.
I know how things have changed. I can't remember the name of the red that you've got. Is it Sonic Red?
Sonic Red.
Yeah.
Sonic Boom. Sonic Red is the colour, which is a bit Dakota-y. I guess it's maybe halfway between Dakota and Fiesta.
Yeah. Yes, that's a perfect description.
Yeah, it's not quite as pastel as Fiesta, but it's a bit more vibrant than Dakota, I guess.
It's great. It's such a good color, and you're right, it is perfectly in between those two in exactly the right way.
I don't know, but maybe I'm just falling away from P90s because of that. I'm not sure. Maybe I want some humbuckers. I don't know. I've got a lot of thinking to do about it all.
I've done some research while you were discussing, and here's a little bit of a history lesson. So the Gibson ES-150, which was or is generally recognised as the world's first commercially successful Spanish-style electric guitar, electric Spanish, obviously that's where the ES comes from, called the 150 because it cost $150, or about $3,000 in today's money. It was played primarily by the jazz player Charlie Christian, and that's why the name, the pickup name, is recognised with him. Although he was more recognised as the player of the ES-150. Introduced in 1936 and became an instant hit in jazz orchestras because it could be louder than an acoustic guitar. Wow. Which is amazing. And originally fitted to the guitar via three magnets.
I was going to say, what are the three screws?
Yeah, they are magnets that hold the pickup in place.
There's on the outside of the guitar and on the inside of the guitar.
Yes, there's three steel rods.
We should explain that to the listener. Like, in the middle of the body of an ES-150 in a triangular format are three screws just in the middle of the body, like below the pickup. The pickup's in the neck. That's the Charlie Christian in the neck. In the middle of the body, triangle format, three screws. Weird.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Yeah, very weird. I mean, obviously, this is 1936. Like, people are still finding their feet, I guess, when it comes to designing guitars. But yeah, amazing, really. And yeah, one of the first pickups out there. The only pickup that looks like it came before it was the one that was found on the Rickenbacker A22, or the Frying Pan, which is considered the first ever electric guitar. Yeah, it's a pretty amazing design, but I think part of the reason it's kept its fame, if you remember rightly, that when we worked at GAC, there was a John Lennon Les Paul Junior that had one fitted to the neck position at one point, and we had a couple of those, and then Danny Gatton had one in his telly in the 70s and 80s. And then obviously guys like Mojo Pickups, Creamery, Lola all make a Charlie Christian style pickup now. So kind of like a very fat single coil, but not obviously anywhere near the sort of P90 vibe by the looks of it. But yeah, very cool design, and yeah, been around for 90 years. Wow. Nearly 90 years.
It's a wonder we ever changed pickups from that sort of format. They look incredible. They look so striking and brilliant with, like, the, you know, the chrome blade on a black cover with a chrome surround. It's such a unique and interesting look.
I've just seen a advert for the original 150, and advertised with a cable, like, permanently connected to the end pin. Because why wouldn't you plug it in, you know? But I mean, amazing. Yeah. It's just, you can't imagine, like, being a jazz player in an orchestra and having played acoustic and then keeping up with all those instruments. Then one day it's like someone's like, yeah, I've invented this thing. And you plug it into this, like, basically a radio, and it's really loud. It must have blown people's minds. And now we're like, oh, yeah, we've invented another guitar pedal to go with the other, like, 10 million guitar pedals that exist.
Well, now we're like, we've invented another guitar computer that you can download the virtual sounds of cabinets into.
Yeah. Yeah. What will we be talking about in another 100 years, Joe?
Yeah, well, exactly. Probably,
we won't be talking about anything, because we'll be dead.
Well, you guys won't be. I'm going to live forever.
Joe,
to be honest with
himself.
You, Joe, if you were to outlive us all, despite everything, it would not surprise me in the slightest.
Well, here's what I... Yeah, exactly. Here's, you know, what I say to that. Does a pickled onion last longer than an onion?
Fair point indeed.
Thank you. Exactly. Okay, the third fidelity. Sorry, I do want to get through all the fidelities. The third fidelity, our keys player, Josh, who is... is weird, and so he has chosen everyone else is like got the memo, you know, everyone else is like it has to be a black guitar, but Josh is like, well, I'm the keys player, I probably won't play it in the band, so he's gone for burgundy mist with a thick cut taut guard. And he's gone for a gold foil in the middle of the body. He's gone for a double standard, which, as I said before, is the offset version of the Fidelity. He's also gone for a rosewood board with a baked maple neck. But he's gone for conventional controls, just a tone control on the lower horn, which is where Matt Oram, where Fidelity guitars on their Light series, where they fit their tone control, and then the volume control on the plate. But the, you know, that is absolutely fantastic. I did find one thing, because it's, you know, it's I think his is Ash as well. I did find when I had his guitar and I had the other, the Charlie Christian JB next to each other. Of course, there are other factors. One's Ash, one's a Betch, one's a maple neck, one's a rosewood neck. But I was like, the double standard is obviously great, but the difference between the Charlie Christian and the gold foil was massive. And the, you know, the Charlie Christian was just so much more. I used the word detailed earlier to describe it, but it was just that. Like, it wasn't that the double standard was bad. The double standard was great. In fact, it was the first one I plugged in and played, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is great. And then I picked up the JB with the Charlie Christian, and I was just like, oh, I annoyed that I have to give this to my sax player because it's so very good. But I might think about getting a... I think I'm talking myself into retrofitting a Charlie Christian into something that I own. We'll see. But then, yes, and then the last one was my bass. A short scale Stella Rosa. Yeah. I know. I'm sorry. But it was a... I'll be quick with it. It was a short scale Stella Rosa bass, the first ever Stella Rosa bass. Stella Rosa has only ever been a guitar before I had mine made. 30-inch scale, rosewood neck, baked maple board, some gorgeous light... sort of Y tuners on there in a satin finish, and then I've gone for the Dyna bass pickup in the middle of the body, single volume control, no tone, no messing around, no extra controls, just a volume Ash body, black guard. It's brilliant. And the most important thing is I went to Matt originally and I was like, can I get a Jaguar mute kit fitted? You know, the ones that you can like flick up and down? Because I'd seen on the custom shop, the best thing Fender Custom Shop have ever released in the bass world is the Sean Hurley Precision Bass, which they do in one of the best colours I've ever seen, which is like their midnight blue. I can't remember exactly what you call it. Is it Mercedes blue?
I think.
Maybe. Yeah. I think that might be. It's just a gorgeous color, like a blue tinted black. Essentially, it's so lovely, and they do like a 62 style P bass in that finish with a torque guard and a rosewood neck, and it has a reversed, like an upside down Jaguar mute kit, because you can't, you know how the Jaguar mute kit fits underneath the bridge. Obviously, you can't do that with a P-bass bridge, so it's just tipped up the other way. Although maybe on the Sean Hurley, I think they've just custom made it to fit around the bridge. So I just went to Matt and was like, can we get one of these and you just fit one on so that I can mute the strings? And Matt was like, well, how about I design my own version?
How about I make this even more difficult for you?
Yeah, exactly.
For me, I guess, actually.
Exactly. So he designed it to be recessed into the body. So rather than just being something on top that switches up and down, he made a push mute, so like a bar that you can load different types of foam on. That was actually great, because we've gone through, like, you know, he sent me the bass with one type of foam, and I'm like, it's a bit too much, there's too much pressure, so we try rubber, other types of foam, like, and that's not to make it work or not work, that's to get the right tone that I want. So any player that had that could just choose, you know, the type of material based on the tone that they want. But yeah, it's just like a push thing, so it has holes recessed into the body of the bass itself where you can just press it and it will click out and hit, you know, essentially palm mute your bass, and you can click it in again to relieve the strings. But it's the best idea I've ever had, because I love palm muting, but of course to do that you need a plectrum, and I'm a much better fingers player than I am a plectrum player, so it's lovely to have the option. But yeah, I couldn't be happier. And to think, you know, with the exception of the bass, which is like a standard model, so his normal price is of whatever it is, like 1,400, 1,500 quid, the rest of them are light series, which makes them under £1,000 each. Or like, you know, whatever, it's like under 900 quid each, you know, for
Quidditch?
Quidditch, yeah, exactly. Huh. For custom shop guitars. And there's, you know... We get a lot of stuff coming through. I have a lot of guitars here, and they're up there as some of the best that I've seen or had. So I'm very, very happy. Dear listener, go and check them out. They're wicked. But yes, there is. Those are my Fidelity guitars. So I guess we should talk about a little bit of news. Matt Knight, why don't you start us off?
Yes. Where should we start, Joe? Do you want to start? Should we start with a guitar? Should we start? We're talking about guitars. Why don't we talk about more guitars?
Fine.
Since we are a guitar-based podcast. Let's talk about this little one that came out at the beginning of the month. This is the Orange OE1. So this is a custom shop guitar built, or designed, should I say, by Aid from Orange Amplifiers in association with Blast Cult Guitars. And a very, very cool project indeed. As far as I know, Aid is based out of his own little workshop in London, has teamed up with Jason Burns of London-based guitar custom shop Blast Cult to basically offer an Orange custom shop guitar, which I think is quite a cool project and quite a different direction for them to take. Guitar design-wise, single cut, you know, kind of LP-esque.
Well, do you remember he did this before? Aid had a bass before, the Orange basses, and they did them in black, white, and orange, I think.
But they were
black Sunburst and orange.
They were a much cheaper guitar pack,
they were.
Right?
It was like £350. They were incredible quality. They were like value for money. It was a really good bass and a really interesting bass. But yeah, you're right. You can just see, this is obviously the other end of the spectrum, but you can see how Aid's aesthetic choices have come through here.
Indeed. So you've kind of got this sort of, single cutaway Les Paul-esque shape, although I would say that the lower horn is quite different. It's a little bit more rounded and quite a cool headstock. The headstock reminds me of the sort of 60s airline sort of vibe. It's got that sort of weird angled cut at the top. And then the body design is sort of relatively unique as well. So two-tone, but you've kind of got a V shape that distinguishes the two colours, so a cream and a gold, and then a checkered binding with tunematic bridge and humbuckers. So yeah, all round really sort of unique design and very cool to team up with Blast Cult, who do make some extremely interesting instruments. They make everything from double basses to electric guitars and your standard bass, but they've done things like they made a really bizarre four string bass where each string had its own like single round pickup.
Yeah, they did a hollow body flying V bass with F holes and made it like gold top as
They call that model the 35, which is this cool almost kind of like a Thunderbird in some ways sort of design with the kind of center, the raised center block. The Orange looks very, very cool. They are they're custom made to order, although I think the design and everything is fixed. You can have either P90s or Filtertrons. So you can't like change the body shape or anything like that. But yeah, design, each one built by Blast Cult on a 4-week waiting list.
Great lead time for a custom shop.
Yeah, maybe they haven't received, or I'm sure if they start receiving a serious amount of orders, then maybe that might increase. But otherwise, I think it looks very, very cool. Lightweight mahogany, sort of a vintage inspired V to C shape neck. So I'm guessing they're going for more of that, I guess, compound feel that you get maybe on some of the kind of, there's some modern custom shop Fenders do that 7.25 to 9, you know, where it kind of, you've got this sort of V shape at the neck for chords, but then you've kind of got a slightly better profile for lead work at the top.
Yeah.
I also like the headstock design. The headstock also features the orange
look. Matty, I think it's important. It's not better. It's just, you know, flatter.
Flatter, yeah.
I think it's, you know, you don't want to be offending people saying that flat is better, you know. It's just flatter.
Fair enough.
I mean, as it happens, you know, it is. But, like, I'm just saying that there are people out there who incorrectly believe otherwise. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe. Very, very cool. Price is $3,840. Very specific price. And I guess in line with what you'd expect on relatively sort of high-end custom shop instruments made by boutique builders.
Yeah, it's in line with Blast Cult, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's a lot of other companies who are, you know, a one-person operation that are doing a very, very similar thing and putting a lot of love and attention into building those instruments. So I think it's a sort of fair price to ask, really, but very, very cool. Aid looks very happy in a lot of the photos. So I'm guessing he's pleased with it, which is great. And obviously he's had a lot of, you know, he's played in a lot of bands, you know, and built a lot of amplifiers and designed a lot of stuff. So he really knows what it is when it comes to sort of tone and sound. So I'd imagine very, very cool guitar. We should probably hit up our friend at Orange to see if he will lend us one. Joe Branton.
Yes. Okay. I'll do
if he's listening. But yeah, I think it's cool. I like the two tone. I like the cream and sort of gold top. I think that's very, very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah, really interesting. Really, yeah, really unique. Really different. Like premium price tag, but like a really cool, super unique thing to have.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I think overall, very, very cool. Very, very cool design.
Yes. J. Cross, why don't we continue the guitar theme and you can tell us all about the new DePinto guitars.
Yes. So this is something that I am extremely excited about. So DePinto guitars based out of Philadelphia. I first encountered them when a DePinto Galaxy came into GAC when we were working there secondhand. And being the naive children that we were, as opposed to being the naive adults that we currently are, we didn't know what this guitar was and we'd never heard of it. And it just looked like this completely and utterly mad guitar, but it played amazing. And if I remember correctly, I don't even think it managed to get up onto the website before someone had come in and bought it. They just came in, they were like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe you've got one of these guitars, I have to have it. And and therefore we probably completely undervalued it, and someone in Brighton is walking around still to this day with a smug look on their face. But anyway, I went to the DePinto shop in Philadelphia when I was over there about 18 months ago, 2 years ago maybe. And I met Chris DePinto, who's this really, really cool dude who has been building these guitars for since the 90s. They just don't really look like anything else. I mean, they're kind of an offset shape. They've got a bit of a kind of Jazzmaster-y type look to them, but they've got four individual single coils that each have four on-off switches, they look and play and feel and sound amazing. But because they are all made in by Chris in Philadelphia, they aren't very cheap. So generally they start I think about $3,000, I think is how much a standard one is. And over the last, you know, couple of years, I guess, there have been some budget ones available. The Safari series, I think it is, came out a couple of years ago, and that brought the price down to about $1,000. But earlier this week, kind of out of nowhere, as far as I can tell, DePinto announced that they were launching a new range of Orbital series Galaxy guitars. Ooh. And the Orbital series brings the price down to just $400.
What?
$400 for one of these guitars. They're made in China, but they are made to Chris's spec. They still have the four individual single coils.
Oh my
they
goodness.
Still have the four individual on-off switches, and they come in a bunch of absolutely bonkers colors. Like, this is so hot off the press, right?
Most of them
don't even have pictures. They're not on the DePinto website. I found out about this through their Facebook page.
The post was an hour ago.
Well, the original post was a couple of days ago.
I've just seen the other colors.
Yeah, exactly. So he posted up about a couple of them. So there's orange with a orange sparkle with a torque guard, and green sparkle with like a kind of lime green sparkle guard.
It's like a yellow guard.
Yeah, and let me just find, I mean, this is So he posted about all the different colours that they've got on here, and I can't find it here. But they're this is great, fantastic podcasting. But yeah, basically, there's a bunch of different colours. He posted it in one of these metallic blue, metallic purple, metallic red, sonic blue. Those are all available with block inlays, and then with just dot inlays. There are a bunch of other colours, including this green, but he's just posted up a new picture an hour ago, which shows off the pink one, which is pink with a torque guard. He's also doing like an Olympic white with a torque guard as well. I mean, honestly, you've got to go over to the DePinto Facebook page and look at these guitars. They look absolutely amazing, and I cannot believe that they are so cheap. $400 for one of these. They just look so smart. We'll see what happens with the world later on, but like, we're hoping to get over to Philadelphia. Me and my girlfriend's mum lives out there. We're hoping to get over there before the end of the year. And I'm thinking about just shooting a message to DePinto Guitars now and just being like, look, can I give you a deposit and I'll come pick it up in, like, I don't know, whenever I'm allowed to fly to America again, because I just think, I mean, they look absolutely incredible. They look like nothing else. It's like a proper Jetsons guitar. I'm all about
cool.
it.
Extraordinarily cool. What color would you go for, Jay?
I mean, you've got to go for the pink, haven't you? Yeah, look at it. It looks so good. Mind you, the metallic finishes as well, the orange with the block inlays. I mean, there's just something for everyone there, as far as I'm concerned. I think they range from like really classy through to really gaudy through to like absolutely amazing. It's just there's so much to love about these. So if you ever find yourself on in Philadelphia, I would highly recommend popping over to DePinto Guitars, because it is a great shop. They've got some really, really cool stuff in there. But if not, just wait and see whether these make it up onto their website, because I'm telling you, I reckon they're going to be proper bangers.
Yeah, they look incredible. This is the most exciting thing I've heard in a while, Jacob.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I've been thinking about getting one of the Safaris at a grand. I thought, you know, that's actually a really good price for that guitar. I think it's amazing. I mean, you know, even the full version, the full Galaxy 4s are they're custom shop guitars. You know, it's incredible value for money, but when you look at the sort of spec'd back version of these, like, there's a few things they don't have. The he just does a quick setup on them, so there's no like full shebang on them, and the pick guards aren't handmade, they're not hand wired. But I mean, really, it just seems like a really great guitar for the money, so I'm very excited about this.
Yes, yeah, they look absolutely fantastic. It actually completely reminded me when you introduced these that I was talking to the team over I was talking to Rick. I can't remember his name for a second there. I was talking to Rick at Pure Salem Guitars earlier today about a few models that he's got pre-orders for at the moment. And the great Pure Salem do kind of a similar thing in that their models are so interesting and unique and brilliant, and they're also incredibly affordable. So they're doing pre-orders on three of their models at the moment, and the pre-orders are like $700 plus shipping, and that's it. And it's three models, so it's the Cherry Bomb, the Bruiser, and the J Doe, the three shapes. The J Doe is my personal favorite. It actually reminds me a little bit of the DePintos that we were talking about. They're kind of really, I don't know how to describe them, sort of unique offsets, with almost Jaguar-esque, but more sort of 50s and weird. They have big speeds, two single coils, one in the neck and the bridge, and you can get it in a black with a black plate, or you can get it in a pink with a torque guard. They look absolutely fantastic. The other two models are essentially an Explorer and a Flying V, but imagine kind of, I guess, taking the nature, certainly in the case of the Flying V, taking the nature of the Flying V and then making it, I guess, a bit more 50s. with the headstock and the appointments, the aesthetics, the color choices, things like that. But it's the Bruiser is the name of the Flying V, and they are just for $700 for one of these as a completely unique, completely interesting guitar. It kind of like, I was like, oh, maybe I'll get the J Doe because that's really kind of my cup of tea. But then at the price they are and the fact that they are interesting and a bit different, I'm like, maybe I should get the Flying V version, the Bruiser, because it's just, it's such an interesting, unique guitar for not a lot of money at all. They look fantastic.
Great stuff.
Yes, they are indeed. Now, how are we doing for time? We're coming right up to the end of the podcast. So I guess we'll talk about some more news over on the Patreon. But I wanted to, before we go, I wanted to talk a bit more about the Isotope Spire. Because it's such a fantastic tool, and I know we've talked about it a load, but I'm like, this thing's great. So I got it out earlier today. I was sort of like, I went outside into my garden. And I was like, I wonder. I just had an acoustic guitar and the Spire, and I was like, I wonder, you know, how this will hold up. And in
how
fact,
the other half live, eh, Matty?
I know
how the other half live. Honestly,
all right. It was a lunch break. I was allowed to do that, so I had myself.
Oh, how the other half live? A lunch break.
I had myself a nice tall gin and tonic.
You bloody did.
I'm going straight to work after this podcast non-stop, mate.
I'm sorry, Matty, but yes, it was in fact my neighbor had a skip delivered whilst I was recording, and I actually thought it sounded great in the background, you know.
After all the
reverb and echo was on it, but I can't believe I'm going to play the clip. I just did like a 30-second thing just in my garden with an acoustic that I haven't restrung in 3 years, you know, and the Spire. And just the quality, when you think it was just sitting on my bench, like, you know, a few feet away from me, the quality that it records at is just unbelievable. And the fact that I was able to just lay in two rhythm guitars, a lead guitar over the top, and then two vocals, and then I can position easily, because you go onto like a mix screen, and you can then just use your finger to move around each channel to the left and the right and up and down to you know how high it is in the mix, which is a great way of visualizing what you're doing almost by, like, you know, panning the two rhythm guitars, maybe having the two vocals slightly closer together but underneath them in the mix, and then having the lead guitar up and in the middle. Like, it is
so user-friendly that even it is so idiot-proof that even this idiot can get his head around is basically, and I'm talking about myself here, you know, it really is very intuitive.
The thing for me that I thought was great, and this actually isn't something I've done before. I've always like just mixed it on the Spire and been like, yep, there you go, that's done. But I had it on my phone, went back inside, went up to my Mac, and it's like, oh, you can go to the share option on the Spire app on your phone. And you share, and I can just share it with my Mac. So it then just opens a link on my computer once I've shared it and takes me to an Isotope site where it's now stored all of the stems individually, as well as the mix, and I can download either the stems in MP3 or WAV form, and I can choose which one I want. Download those, and I can pop them straight into a DAW to mix them even further if I want, as well as just, you know, being able to have the mix down. Which I just thought, like, I mean, that is fantastic to be able to easily get access to all of those stems independently, so that you can, you know, give it an extra polish if you want. I just, you know, it's such a good tool. So, you know, with no further ado, here's the here's the track, and yes. there it was, and
oh, it sounded great, Joe. Oh, I can't believe you mastered the trumpet. So, where were you playing that from? It sounded really interesting.
That accordion solo was just.
It was a strong. Yeah, it was bagpipes, not accordion. But yeah, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah,
it went through the micropog. That's why I thought it was an accordion, yeah. Matty.
It was best 30-second washboard solo I've ever heard.
thanks, guys. I appreciate it. But yeah, that's all the time we have on this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We're going to be continuing over on Patreon at patreon.com/guitar nerds for an entire extra episode, as we do every week. And you can become a Patreon supporter for as little as $1 a month. At $1, you'll get this episode ad-free and early every week. $5 gets you access to the Patreon special, which we're going to go record now, and our entire back catalogue, all the other stuff we've chatted about over the last 6-7 years or whatever. And at the $10 tier, you'll get the lot. Plus, I'll sing you my thanks at the end of every episode. You can find us on all your favorite social media platforms and join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook to get involved in our weekly episode discussion. As I said at the start of this, I'm going to post like all those giveaways, the Shotmaker giveaway, that KMA giveaway. I'll get them up on the Facebook group, on all of our social channels as well. And I'll post those Fidelity guitars again in the group so you guys can all see what they look like, because they are really cool. Thanks very much for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
I know you wanted to. Checking on the Guitar Nerds when you're feeling blue. You're a Telecaster and a Stratocaster fan. You're also a Quiverer and a bit of Music Man. You take one look at a Fender Custom Shop. You know that that's another $3,000 you're gonna drop. And I love 50s, cute, so unique. Now go and buy the plugin from the plugin of the week. Guitar Nerds coming in your ears. Listen to us day and night and drink a bunch of beers. We got Matt Knight and Jay Cross too. Patrick even shows up when he's got nothing to do. We got JD and Naomi McCloud. But I am the best one because I'm sexy, jumping loud. But we couldn't do this podcast without you. You're everything a podcast host could ever want is true.
Charlie Brown, Holly Simpson, Eric Vaughn, John Conway, the Studio Rats, Russell Howard, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen Cloud, Lipperton, Simon Skull, Harris, Joe Hubbard, Sean Hughes, Brian Hansen, Eric Emma, Jeffrey Wax, Shane M, Brian Einstein, Jonathan Hafferty, Kevin Vander, Lyndon Marcus, Alcatawaki, Robert Butterworth, Samuel Frost, Stuart Ronson, Christy Lund Hansen, Keith Adams, Eric File, Dallas Henry, Scott Utting, Jeff Cutler, Andy Manley, Simon Milborn, Ken Sayers, Michael McVeigh, Aaron Peter, Sean Arbo, Andy Cooper, Joe Patek, Blake Wyland, Dave Lee, Nate Nagel, Ross Edwards, John Anglin, Aaron Sherman, James Moore, Ryan McDermott, Jake Clay, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Michael, oh yes, Abe Matthews, Christopher Lotus, Stephen Hawke, Robert Smith, Titopia the Band, J.D. Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Paul Corrigan, Rob Nordvik, Scott O'Brien, and Moo Griffith.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.